Loveline, coast to coast.
Yep, it's Loveline. Ace Rocola is not here. I would be Stryker in for Adam, along with Dr. Drew. Hello, Doctor.
Hey, Stryker. Sounds kind of poetic. Stryker in for Adam.
Stryker in for Adam. All right, so I'm walking around the halls here. A girl says, you work over at the radio station? I'm like, yeah. Just like when I started at K-Rock, they thought I was the van driver for the first 9 months until I went to the lady that answers the phone at the front desk, and I said, I'm expecting a call. And she said, van drivers can't get calls.
Oh, how nice. I like that. I like that.
So I'm the guy on the radio over there. Hello. Oh, God. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
And today is a great day for me to be filling in.
Yes, it is. You're a lucky guy.
For the first time in your history, Perry, you are on Loveline.
Yep.
Perry Farrell is here, everybody.
Thank you.
This is pretty cool. You've been in L.A. how many years now?
At least 20.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And you were born in Brooklyn, right?
No, my family came from Brooklyn. Okay. I was born in Queens, but I was actually born in New York City.
All right. And then where did you go to junior high and high school?
Junior high out on Long Island. And then I went down to Miami for high school in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came out here to just to kind of give myself a graduation present / runaway.
Okay.
On a Greyhound bus and ended up here.
How much money did you have when you came to L.A. on that Greyhound?
I had $90.
And then somehow you met Dave Navarro.
Yeah, you're leaping, but yeah.
Okay.
So a lot happened in between getting off that bus and meeting Dave.
So what did you do, and for how many years were you just strolling around L.A. before you met Dave and Steven and everybody?
I'd say probably by the time I got into Los Angeles, I was bopping around a good 5-6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Playing music or trying to figure out what exactly you wanted to get into, or what were you doing?
I was playing music. I was I worked at restaurants, you know, as a waiter, busboy. Then I became a waiter. But all the time it was trying to, you know, keep a band going.
Right.
So you did what you had to do.
Right. All right. Well, we'll talk about Jane's Addiction, hopefully, but we're going to talk about your solo project, which is coming out July 31st, which is this coming Tuesday. And we'll also hopefully talk about, as you sit here, I've seen you spin a couple times on the ones and the twos. You seem to really like Jungle, I guess it would be. Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, I like it all, though.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that. And if any questions you guys have for Perry Farrell, he is here, the man. 1-800-LOVE-191. Or if you want to ask Dr. Drew about your penis falling off, you can use that same number.
Something you want to tell us?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Everything's good. I'm here. I'm just rolling along.
You're gay.
Thank you very little. Okay. Let's
You wanted to hear the other one, other drop, too.
You're fat.
You're fat.
You're fat. You're fat. You're fat, Dr. Drew. All right. Tom.
Yeah.
What's up, man? You're 19 on Loveline with Perry Farrell.
Sweet. I was wanting to ask Dr. Drew a question.
Go ahead.
I was wondering if you could give me some advice. I think my girlfriend might be cheating on me, but I don't know.
What's the evidence?
Use condoms all over their apartment. And
no, that would be pretty solid, but what's happening?
No. Her sex drive seems to have taken a very, almost like to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to have sex anymore. I mean, it's once a week if I'm lucky now. And it used to be 4 or 5 times a week.
How long has that been going on for?
Ever since I got my new job about 3 weeks ago.
Mm. So 3 weeks, all of a sudden it drops off.
What are you doing, working at night, Tom?
No, I work the same shift she does. But now I used to work at the same place she did. But now I work at a steel mill.
I think there's a coworker. Yeah. Coworker, Drew.
For her?
Yeah.
No, coworker thing only happens, women groom their coworker friends for the bullpen. When their partner is sort of misbehaving or not stepping up to the plate for them emotionally. A woman will complain to a man for months about needing more out of the relationship, and during that time they'll begin grooming someone and putting them in the bullpen. So if this relationship has been on the rocks for quite some time, then I would believe that. But it doesn't sound like you guys have been having trouble. You were very sexually active, you were fine, and then all of a sudden 3 weeks go pow, things dropped off, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was like right when I got the new job.
Well, I understand that. What, anything else changed? She get, did she
well, now, instead of me taking her to work, I actually have to go to work, like, at 3, because I work 3 to 11, but she works 4 to 12. So I have to drop her off at a guy's house that works with her.
Ah, see?
So that he can take her to work, and then I come and pick her up.
She's not on medication or anything like that?
No. Well, she, she takes birth control. That's about it.
And that's not new. It didn't just start 3 weeks
ago. No, she's been taking that at least ever since we started going out.
And the relationship's been going okay otherwise?
Yeah, it's been going fine.
How old is she?
19.
Well, why don't you ask her?
That's what I was just going to say.
She, I asked her what, you know, what was going on with the you know, us not having sex anymore, and she said she just doesn't feel like it anymore, and I insinuated on, you know, I just asked her if there was, you know, any problems with guys at work bothering her or something, and, you know, she didn't have anything to say about that.
Well, 3 weeks going by, and she's giving you the same spiel. I don't really want to. I don't know. How long have you been dating?
10 months.
What would you do, Perry, if you were this guy?
Well, I wouldn't wait 3 weeks, of not having sex, man. After I don't know, 5 days, I would be definitely having a sit down conversation. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And you know, if she's cheating on you or not, the fact is that she doesn't want to have sex with you. So that's your big signal, kid. You gotta sit down and figure out. There's some reason why she's not sexually charged to you. So if it was me, I would think of ways to getting to her heart again.
There you go.
Like, for example, I would throw her off by doing something kind of kinky and see how she responds to it. Because the truth of the matter is women, they could be cheating and they're still... It's not like us where if you have sex and you have an ejaculation, you're exhausted. They just get more hornier.
Right.
So the idea that even if she's cheating on you, the real sad fact is she doesn't want to have sex with you because she could still be ready for you when she got home. It's you that you and her have to figure out what the heck's going on, man. Now, you change your job. Do you, like, so your rhythms are off. So maybe there's, like, you're having sex at a certain time of the day. In the morning, let's just say. Now, that's gone. So there's a sexual rhythm that you guys develop that your body craves for, just like eating. And that could be happening. There could be some funky smell coming from your job. I'm not kidding you. That you come home and bring it in. And scents are very important to women, I suppose. So
yeah.
It could be something like that, man. But I would sit her down because you're wasting time. Like 3 weeks is
way too long,
yeah,
to
man.
Be dragging
don't,
this thing.
Yeah,
out.
Don't. You know what? Be forthright and ask her what's up.
But remember that in the vast majority of cases we hear about in this show, women are asking for their emotional needs to be met first. And when if she's been asking for that and you've not been delivering, then the sexual drive shuts down very quickly. And then also people cheat.
Yeah, she's cheating. She's leaving you. You should leave her. Anyway, Lauren.
Hi.
Hey, what's up? You're 20 on Loveline. Perry Farrell is here hanging out.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay. I met a really nice girl at one of my summer classes at a junior college the other day. And we've sort of bonded pretty quickly. My worry is that I'm 20, or almost so, and she's just turned 17. And Dr. Drew, I know that you've been rather scathing in your comments about guys who go after girls too young for them.
Yeah. Why is she at the JC already?
Well, she's taking some computer classes during the summer.
She's a high school student.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about it?
Well, it's like, it's not an infatuation. I know that. It's just, it feels different. It's like...
could you, if you, how 17 is she? Is she just 17 or is she almost 18?
She just turned 17 a couple months ago.
Yeah, so she's pretty young. It's not out of the question, you know. It 3 years is, it's a pretty big 3 years there.
I want to know how you do, Lauren, sexually with women your own age.
Actually, I'm about as innocent as it's possible to be.
So do you think maybe... You're thinking in your mind that you have a shot with this girl, so you might as well go for her, even though she's...
I think he says he's had real attraction for her, and it's sort of It's substantial, and he's worried about her. He's worried that his going for her would be bad for her.
Yeah.
And this is exactly the kind of guy that I would want to be going for that. Yeah. You know what I mean? The fact that he's that concerned, that's a good thing. As long as you go forward very cautiously and carefully and realize that there is an issue here.
Yeah.
And a law, isn't there? Just in case.
And they can't have sex legally. So maybe a little time in developing this relationship.
Yeah, I'm not ready for anything too quickly.
Yeah.
Are you a female, Lauren?
No, I'm a guy.
Okay. You're very sensitive. I'm very proud of you.
I was raised by... my mom's gay, and I was raised by two women.
Oh, how interesting.
Oh, my God.
No, I love that, because we've not had a chance to really find out, you know, to study the offspring of gay couples, and this is... Here's an extra good male.
Yeah, wow.
Product of two females.
Where were my two mothers?
I love this.
Well, I've actually found that myself and other people who are the children of gay parents, that the guys are more like the stereotype of women, like really sensitive, caring, so on.
You're talking about gay, like two women or any gay couple?
With two lesbians.
Female parents, yeah.
Yeah, that the guys are more sensitive, and that, I mean, the guys are more like the standard of girls, and the girls are more like the standard of guys. It's like they're a bit more experimental. They're a bit more, it's like they know what they want a bit more.
Do they know what they want, or are they searching? You know what I mean? There's a little difference there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lauren, did you ever walk in on your two moms getting down?
No, they...
Did you ever walk in on your parents?
Hey, I'm not discussing that on the radio.
I'm
Lauren
just saying,
can.
The parents, no matter what the sex, the parents tend to be pretty
curious,
careful about
that. What a man
kind of
thought, a little boy walking in and two women doing something in there. And...
No, they broke up when I was about two.
Oh.
They both had pretty serious alcohol drug problems at first.
Lauren.
Wow.
You just keep hitting us with the hits, Lauren.
And then how did you come out okay?
Well, actually, they realized about the time that they decided that they wanted a kid that alcohol and drugs just was completely inappropriate to have around a child in any way whatsoever. And although they didn't completely quit until I was like three or so.
But they gave you away.
What?
I'm kidding. Go ahead, Lauren, man. We're with you.
Yeah, we're with... Actually, I don't know if I'm with Lauren anymore. Do you want to ask her anymore? You're very... You want to do a sociological study on this.
Yeah, of course. But so, did your parents, your moms, get back together?
No, they've stayed separate.
But did they both of them contribute to your rearing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, well, they had horrible arguments until I was about eight, but...
Oh, how interesting.
But your biggest problem, though, is this girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is all happening because of what happened to him growing up, obviously.
Yeah, but
that's why he's
not really.
Maybe
just
not.
A fella who has got his eye on a girl. He's 21 and she's 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this guy seems like he's a sweet guy.
Yeah.
So if I were her father, the fact is that I'd be looking for a guy who cared about her, and that's what's the most important thing in my view, that she's with somebody that cares so much that he'll protect her and make sure that she's whatever, warm or on time at the very least. So, kid, just keep checking her out and see where it goes. So what, you know what? In a year or two, she'll be legal.
That's right.
So hang in there and just
how many 20-year-olds can even hang out for a week?
Well, this guy, he said he could. He said he's not ready for sex.
Yeah, okay.
He said, you know what I mean? You're going to know her, right? You want to know her. You say you like her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If he were 30, we wouldn't talk this way about him. But that's funny.
Yeah. Or if you just wanted to hit her real quick, then I would say you better think about it because you can get in trouble. But if you like her and your heart's tied to her somehow, right? Just stay tight with her and see what's going on with her. And that's always good advice anyways.
Definitely. That is the wisdom of Perry Farrell, everybody. Jane's Addiction, Porno for Paros, has a new solo album coming out this coming Tuesday. We're going to listen to a song later on during Loveline. The phone number to speak to him or anyone in this room, 1-800-LOVE-191. And let's speak.
Is this kind of any kind of world premiere or anything we got coming here?
Not necessarily a world premiere, because I think
record
I heard...
premiere?
Yeah.
Yeah, the record's coming out soon.
Yeah,
no, but
the
song we're going to play tonight.
I don't think it's an actual world premiere.
Unless I pick one that's never been heard before.
Mm-hmm.
That could be kind of crazy on your part.
I have one.
You free slaves now.
Well.
One slave.
I do my best. Well, I do my bit.
That's Admiral.
That's
we'll get to that, Dr.
That.
Drew. We'll definitely get to that.
What an interesting night.
Let's talk about sluts with Melissa, apparently. Melissa? Melissa?
Yeah.
Melissa going once, okay. Going twice. Hello? Hey, you're on Loveline. Wake up, Fruity. That's, I can't.
Yeah, screeners. And no secondhand, no friends are having a problem kind of questions, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Hey, Lauren.
Yeah.
You've made it to the radio. You're 18 on Loveline.
Oh, sweet.
Cool. Go ahead.
Okay. I am concerned because I have a boyfriend who I've been with for about a year and a half, and I'm concerned that he might be developing an alcohol problem.
Mm-hmm. Does he have that disease in his family system?
Yeah, I think so. And he has had problems before. Before I was with him, he had a couple of years, I think, where he was drinking really heavily all the time.
How old is he?
He's a lot older than me.
How old is he?
He's 27.
Mm. That's not that bad.
Mm. Yeah, well, no, but seriously, like, he's not the kind of guy that you would, you know, he's not like a freak that chases after little girls. He's, I don't know, I would call a relationship unusual for the age difference.
You've been with him how long?
10 years.
So you were 16 when he got going with you?
Yeah.
And he was 25?
We were like a year before we got together.
I would call him a freak going after younger girls. I would.
25 on a 16,
25 and 16
is weird.
Yeah, that's a problem.
All right, go ahead. That's fine.
So what's your question?
Well, I'm just concerned that he might be developing a problem, and I just want to know how I can, like, tell if it's really serious and how I can help him. Because I'm leaving for college, and I'm really concerned that he's going to, you know, like, deteriorate.
All right. So we know he has the gene, or he has at least a 50% chance of having the gene. You already told me he's an alcoholic because he's been previously alcoholically drinking.
Well, he has, but then he
while. There's no such thing as alcoholism that goes away and stays away.
Okay.
There's no such thing. So it's necessarily going to come back unless it's treated or managed in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for that now. And I will tell you, you can't do anything to get him into treatment. That's up to him.
Uh-huh.
All you can do is go to Al-Anon or take care of yourself. And I will tell you that a important person in an alcoholic's life going to Al-Anon has one of the most substantial impacts and increases the probability that they will themselves do something about their disease. Mm-hmm. Somehow it really catches their attention when their spouse or their loved one goes to Al-Anon and begins growing and working a program of their own. They really get, my sense is that they get a feeling that they're going to be abandoned. Mm-hmm. And that's indeed what you'll do. You won't take that crap anymore if you really start growing in the program.
Well, I mean, would you call it like codependency? Like that's why you need to go to Al-Anon? Or?
Yes, I would call it that.
Okay.
Lauren, I must know, what kind of job did this 27-year-old have that he quit?
He was working in insurance.
Insurance?
Yeah.
Of course he was.
Yeah, thrilling.
All right, thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
All right, let's speak to Carol, who wants to speak to Perry. Hello, Carol, you're 18 on Loveline.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, girls, how's it going, dude? I call you all the time. I request songs.
Oh, cool.
I call you all the time, but I never get through.
Well, dude, here you are.
And Perry's here, too.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say that, I don't know, the advice he gave earlier kind of sucked. I think he's pretty stupid.
Who? Oh.
Which advice?
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Hey, Bo?
Yes.
Yeah, you think you can keep us going here, man?
I can try.
You're 23, and you are on Loveline.
All right. Here's my dilemma.
Yeah.
I have a... how do I put it? Like an ethical code of dating. Yeah, I try.
Okay.
I have a few rules. One is you don't ask a girl out while she's at work, and you don't ask a girl out while you're at work. Because if you ask a girl out while she's at work, you know, she can't give you a genuine response.
First off, I got to disagree with you there.
Really?
Yes. Waitresses... Oh, man, that's the best.
Oh, See, I grew up with three sisters. They don't like it.
And how about, and why don't you like to be asked out if you're at work?
No, I wouldn't mind at all. I'm saying I don't ask out girls while they're at work. You know, like, or do you mean...
You said something about you being at work.
If I'm at work, it's just something you don't do because, first off, you can get in trouble with your boss or whatever. I mean, it's just something you're not supposed to do. And second off, like, for the same reason, I guess, if they feel uncomfortable about it, whatever, you know, they're never going to come back there again.
What are your other rules, Bo?
The other one is don't date somebody you work with in close proximity. You know, same place is fine if it's a different department, but you don't mess around with someone you see every day.
Good. Perry, you didn't date Dave Navarro, did you?
A couple of times.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, though.
It was short-lived.
Nasty breakup.
So what's your question?
Hi, this is Dave Navarro. You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
What's your question, Bo?
I guess my question is, what are your guys' feelings on that?
On what?
on what I just spoke of.
I think your second rule was dandy. Your first one is ridiculous. As
no, I certainly agree.
The dick with that's nice.
No, I think you're fine. I think those sounds like good rules.
Okay, see, I mean, because the reason I'm considering breaking my rules is I can't go anywhere but work right now because I happen to be on house arrest.
What'd you do?
I broke the law.
How? What'd you do?
Shocking.
No way.
Shocking.
Really? That,
you mean you weren't on house arrest like most people?
I
just
say,
because somebody randomly came in and put you on house arrest?
You were drunk driving, never paid the fine, then did something worse. What happened?
Way off. Okay. I was convicted of receiving stolen property.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
What did you do?
What did I do? Okay, I was charged with 5 second-degree burglary.
Bo, I swear to God, I'm going to play Adam Carolla here.
See, I was...
What did you do?
Look at...
Okay, I did what I was charged with.
Oh, hang on.
I'm done. Yeah. Okay, ready? Let's do it. Yeah. Here, I'm him.
What?
I'm Bo.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do reenactment? Okay, what did you do?
I was arrested.
What did you do?
It's on house arrest. I have rules.
What did you do?
I'm on house arrest. This is Ace Rocola, my main man, Mayonnaise.
You got to go. I was accused.
I was accused.
And then I was convicted of.
Exactly.
And the court suggested that I was.
Oh, God. All right. I think it's break time, yeah?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Is it? Right. Yeah, we're going quick. All right. Perry Farrell is here from Jane's Addiction, Corner for Pyros, has a solo album coming out this coming Tuesday. We'll hear a little something from that pretty soon. What did I say? Something. I've been up since 5 a.m., everyone, so don't give me too much eesh. 1-800-LOVE-191 if you got in. Want to get in. We'll be back after this on Loveline.
Oh, yeah. Everybody now. Yes, I will be right back
again. Yeah, we're back. It's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Yes, Perry has red vines. I love red vines. I think I actually like Twizzlers a bit better, but red vines are good.
Is there a difference?
There is a difference. He's got the black ones, actually, which look mighty good. All right, Perry, you have a new CD, your first solo project, actually. Is that right?
That's correct.
And it's coming out this Tuesday. What influenced you to do something completely alone and just the Perry Farrell project, even though that's not the exact name of it, but...
Oh, I was listening to lots of electronic music, and it's something that you can do if you have a computer and some time on your hands. And I enjoyed the things I heard, and I wanted to kind of fit in the set, so to speak, or fit the occasion. So I started to write about 3 years ago a record, and it's about to come out now.
Where did you learn how to DJ so well? I'm not talking about talking on a mic, but two records playing, mixing, matching beats, all that kind of stuff.
Just being around my house with a coffin and some decks.
Right.
You do it all the time in the morning and at night and the afternoon. So you just start to see what it is that the DJ is actually doing. It seems like it's a seamless little program they always have for you, but it is
hard.
It's hard.
And it's stressful getting the records ready.
Yeah.
What are you going to go to next?
Yeah.
What are you going to mix? What beat is going to fit into what beat? And
yeah.
It's so different from just being, say, a lead singer of a band where you know your role and you're like the front man, you're doing your thing, where a DJ, you can tell how well you're doing by how many people are possibly going crazy to you on the dance floor. What is more rewarding to you? Having a great mix, you know, at a club or something, or when you're just like wailing away with the mic?
They're two different things. It's like two different sexual positions.
Okay.
I think they both feel really good when they're done right.
Right. Very good. Very good comparison. Well, we want to talk to Sandra here, who wants to speak to you. Sandra 21 on Loveline. Hello.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I can't even believe that I'm actually talking to Perry Farrell. I just wanted to say that I think that your movie, Gift, was very great. I love that movie. I watch it repeatedly with my husband. Oh. And I just wanted to say that you are a very great performer. You're the most respected performer, I believe, out there. And what is your new album going to be called?
It's called Song Yet to Be Sung.
Song. Okay, and it's out Tuesday.
That's what they tell me, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I'm just very honored to be speaking with you, and I just wanted to say that you are great, and you're actually my favorite performer. So.
Thank you, honey.
Hey, Sandra.
Yes.
You want to hear a song off the CD right now?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, let's play the song, Did You Forget? from the new Perry Farrell album coming out this Tuesday, which is called Song Yet to Be Sung. Yeah. And if Anderson is ready, everyone, let's check it out. New Perry Farrell on Loveline. There you go. Brand new Perry Farrell on Loveline from the new CD called Song Yet to Be Sung. Congratulations, man. That sounded
Thanks.
Really, really good.
Thank you.
Now, was that some sampling, some live instruments? How was that particular song put together? It was really interesting. There were
Thank
so many
you.
Different changes in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of programming, but I like to mix a lot of live players and lots of voices singing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep warm instruments with the electronics so that there's lots of inspiration, human inspiration. And then we could play with the electronics and get beautiful textures and filters and subs, you know,
right.
subsonic sounds.
You definitely picked a side of the fence and went in a certain direction with that, it sounds like, which is really cool. Tiffany is on Loveline and wants to speak to you. Hello, Tiffany.
Hello.
How are you and who are you, Tiffany?
My name is Tiffany, and I think Perry Farrell is there, right?
Yeah.
I just want to tell him I'm his biggest fan. I bought his CD on eBay, and it is absolutely amazing and fabulous. I love you, Perry.
Thank you, honey.
Wow. All right, Tiffany, thanks for calling.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah, what's your question?
Well, my question is, I have a little, I don't know, a little confusion. So I went to see my ex-boyfriend the other day, and I don't know, he took me into the closet, and he handcuffed me, and he tried to have sex with me, and I'm concerned that, I mean, he's been doing that sex thing on the internet for a while, and I'm a little worried that...
And who are you referring to,
really
Tiffany?
I think you need to make a file a police report, because you were held against your will.
Where is this person now?
I really think you need to get a forensic exam so you can collect the evidence and so this person can be taken to justice.
Perry?
Oh,
Perry, she's gone. Who is she referring to, my friend?
I don't know. We should find out, though. And this guy's sick. He's a real sicko.
Let's get to the bottom of this, man. The porn on the internet, handcuffing in the closet. I want to hang out with you. And me and you together, forget it. You stole the cow and your friend. All right, Deborah.
Hi, guys.
What's
Perry.
Up?
Hello.
I ran into Perry, which is you, a couple years back at a Chili Peppers show, and you're standing up on a, I don't know if it was like a bass cab thing or a speaker thing, but to get your attention, I had to, like, tap your leg, and it was so buff, and I'm not usually into, like, buff guys or whatever, but I know that passion, you're one of your passions, along with, of course, music and sex, is surfing, and I ran into you at Venice Beach once surfing, and I was wondering if that's how you stay so trim and fit still.
You want to know my sexy secrets?
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you...
Yeah, like how I stay in shape, yeah? So what I like to do is, my favorite thing to do is I get up and out the door, and I go outdoors. I spend an hour to 2 hours outside in the morning, and I'll go to the beach. So when I'm down at the beach, I'll run, and I always will stretch. And then I'll just do calisthenics down there, and I make sure that I'm all stretched out. It's true. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that I always make sure that I do is I run as fast as I can, because I figure, you know, when you're young, you run as fast as you can every day. Mm-hmm. But as people get older, that's one thing I know, no matter who they are, less and less days go by when when's the last time you ran as fast as you can?
I do it through the mall every day. I sprint. Forever 21, Victoria's Secret, here I come, ultimate frozen yogurt, look out.
Yeah, that's me.
I do it when we're playing, like, Cleveland. No, okay. Anyways, so anyway, the best thing about it is opening your channels through yoga and stretching and the meditation that you get to be able to speak to your heart and also hear the breeze and hear the day, hear what the day's saying too, because the day is speaking.
Not what people have to say so much.
You know, and the breeze will be saying things, and you'll get some nice sun and wind, and those things are actually important too, to breathe in and take that in, and then that's it, man. That's the best you could do.
And for his video, it's 1-800-P-Farrell, which should be on late night, right?
Yeah, I'm wearing spandex.
Man, there's nothing like jogging on the boardwalk.
Striped spandex.
Sprite? Oh, yes, like Richard.
Like a bodysuit.
What's his name? There you go.
No.
Very cool. Hey, Ginger.
Hi.
Hi, you're 16 on Loveline.
Yeah, I have a question.
I'm taking a summer school class right now, and
you don't sound 16, by the way. But go ahead.
I don't.
No, you sound like 23.
Nice.
At least.
Yeah.
No, but cool. anyway, I'm taking this English class for summer school.
At a high school, or?
Yeah.
Right.
And there's this teacher, and he's 27, and you know, we've hung out after class and talked and stuff, and he's hinted to like going out to dinner, and I really like him, and I'm wondering, you know, if I should just do it.
No, unfortunately, it's not a good thing for you. He's really taking advantage of his position.
Bad man.
And he not only taking advantage of his position, he's really violating, talking about, we talked earlier about a code of ethics. Maybe, Perry, you disagree with this, but...
Oh, I'm just blushing.
Right.
I'm preparing what I would think, but I'm listening to you first.
Well, I just think that that his job, the responsibility he's taken as a teacher, precludes him engaging in these kinds of actions with his students. And him violating those kinds of boundaries, to me, means he's not a good guy.
And not only that is he not a good guy, but Ginger, I'm curious to know, you know, what are you thinking? Are you hinting at possibly going out on a date, and you think you can make something of a relationship with this guy? Or, I mean, if you're logical, can't you see how wrong it is for, you know, you to hang out with this 27-year-old teacher of all?
Well, yeah, but you know, I also think that, like, you know, that sometimes there's circumstances that you know,
kind of... No, no, no. No, 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 no. No. This guy is preying on your
innocence.
Vulnerabilities. Yeah, yeah. He really is. And he may be an okay guy, and you may enjoy spending time with him, and that's fine.
If he's offering you an A in class, go out with him if you have
no.
a C. But.
Well, I don't know what Perry has to say.
You want to hear what I have to say?
You don't have to if you want to.
Well, all right. My first question would be, what is the seriousness of your relationship? Like, for example, do you feel that you... I always go about it like this. I look at it in the long run. I think to myself, how serious would I be with this person forever, let's say? And then I go from there. If you think it's just going to be a sexy fling, then you better be prepared when it's just a fling and... because I think it sounds like a sexy setup, but there's a lot more to it. Now, Dr. Ju's point is very well taken. The guy, you know, he's kind of got you in the palm of his hand because you're looking up to him and he's teaching you. And that's a sexy turn-on. There's no doubt about it. And people are entitled to fall in love in any situation. I mean, you end up to marry this guy, then we'll all be happy that you were telling us first. But... you've got to be very realistic. Chances are, you know, I would always go with the forthright business. Go right to him and say, what's up with us? And get behind what he's really thinking. And then you can weigh it out. And if you're a person who just wants to have a sexy, wild thing happen and you're protected and you're prepared emotionally, that's your call. I don't know. But, yeah, man, you know, chances are the guy is doing illegitimate stuff unless there's such a powerful love between the two of you that he says, listen, I can't help this. Mm-hmm. I want to marry you, and I know it's wrong. But you know what I mean?
This
like, draw him out.
Is not thinking that,
I know,
obviously.
I know. I'm just trying to give her all the options here.
Right. But okay. You know what? I guarantee if Ginger confronts him.
Because, you know, you can't stand nervous. In the way of love. That's the way I always look at it. If it's meant to be and if it's a love thing, then you got to just go for it. You know what I mean? But you have to be very realistic and always keep your... guard yourself two times. Two times.
One between your legs and one in your brain.
Or your heart.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what I meant. All right, that's Perry Farrell. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm having trouble speaking. When
Adam
we come
Carolla.
Back, we're going to speak to a man whose penis turned off. That
just
sounds
shut off?
Lovely. Just shut off, oh, just wow. like that. Yep, that's it.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191. We're up. We're back. Love Line. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla along with Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and Perry Farrell is here, lead singer of Jane's Addiction. Then you formed Porno for Pyros. Now you have your own solo project coming out this coming Tuesday. And if you guys live in L.A. or surrounding areas, Perry's going to be at the Tower Sunset doing an in-store on August 3rd. I guess that would be, I don't know, figure it out when August 3rd is. And you're going to be there. I guess signing
That's
autographs
Friday, right?
And hanging out.
Friday?
Yeah, okay.
I'll be spinning.
What's that?
I'll be spinning.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And people can get the album there. Are you going to be doing any signing also or anything like that? Or
just I suppose so.
You could sign a something if you wanted.
If I'll do it in your parking lot, I'll do it at Tower. So.
Oh, there you go. Very cool. So what inspired Jane's Addiction to do this, I guess, a reunion tour this summer? I don't know if that's the official name of it, but that's basically what it is.
It just fell the will of the way, man. It just happened that we were invited to do Coachella. Right. Coachella, and we, you know, we have a nice production. It takes, I would say, a good month and a half, month to put a production together. And when we decided we would do Coachella, we said, let's do some more dates, just because all the production, you'd want to make it worth your time.
Definitely.
So now we have a fall tour planned.
Nice.
And here we are.
And what does it feel like internally to get back together with the guys and get on stage and still create something that's pretty cool up there?
I'm expecting it's like marriage. It ought to get better and better.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you're not married now in your social life, are you?
No.
No, because you go on the internet for porn.
Who does?
I don't know who does.
That's
I'm not sure.
Terrible rumor.
Terrible rumor. Jay from Idaho. Yes, you're 16.
What up?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I kind of have a depressing problem.
Yeah, what happened?
Oh, no, man.
Well, you know, me and my...
Hey, guess what? Everybody does, so come on. What's yours?
It's kind of freaky.
Well, okay, so...
What happened?
Well, me and my girlfriend, we have sex, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But what happened to your penis,
part.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know, a couple... I don't know when it was. It was not very long ago, but we're just in the middle of sex, and all of a sudden my penis just stopped and just shut off. Yeah.
Were you wearing a condom?
Yeah, I was wearing protection.
And had you been wearing it every time you guys have had sex?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
Okay.
What do you mean shut off?
Well, it just it went down, you know.
You lost your erection.
Yeah.
Were you anything unusual that day? Less sleep, less, or drugs, alcohol?
No. Mm-mm.
It was the first time that ever happened to you?
Yeah, it is.
Which is sort of surprising already. Most men have that happen. Most men actually have that happen to them. I don't know if it's most is accurate, but many men actually have that happen their first time out. Very first time out.
Hmm.
Especially with a new partner.
Not this kid, Drew.
I understand. Superman. But be that as it may, Jay, to have erectile dysfunction is a real, real common thing. And what happens is guys then freak out that it's going to happen again.
Freak themselves out to make it happen.
That makes it happen again, being so freaked out. So you got to figure out what was going on that caused this to happen. Were you stressed about something? Is the relationship going okay? Were you guys having so much sex that there was sort of no steam left in you?
Well, I don't know. Everything was fine, but she just really got pissed off.
That you shut down. That's a shame.
Afraid that it ruined our relationship.
Oh, no.
No, see, what happens is oftentimes women are feel that it means something about how you feel about them. Or you're not attracted to them or something. It's not about her. Ladies, it's not about you when guys don't work right.
Not at all.
It's about work or football practice or something you ate. It really is.
I think I have a clue, some insight as to what your problem is. You said you were having sex a lot, right?
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, you ever eat pizza every day?
Yeah.
You know how the taste is not, but every once in a while when that pizza's delivered, it's like delicious, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're probably having too much sex. You got so used to it. Nothing practically could have gotten you off at that point. You might have been actually numbed out, you know, from so much friction, constant friction, your mind grows numb to it, I suppose.
Your advice is brilliant, Perry.
So I would say give it a little break and then start to think about her again, long for her, let her know how much you want her, man, and then call us back.
You have to do the opposite of what someone that ejaculates too quickly does. Don't masturbate at all until the next time, hopefully if you do again. You have intercourse with her, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what do I say to her? I mean, she's pissed.
Oh, she can't be that pissed.
How old is she?
She's my age, 16.
Okay, let me tell you something, man. At 16, there's so much that you're going to learn in your lifetime about just the strokes, man. I mean, I'm being serious. How to ride a woman and how to ride your orgasms together. And this thing happens to everybody, man. They might not admit it to you. I'll admit it to you. There was this one girl, and it was because I was in love with somebody else. But, hey, it happened to me, too. But the deal is, man, you're going to have to develop a sexual rhythm in your lifetime. And especially you've been doing it so much, just back off for a minute and see how things go. And that's my advice.
And I agree with that. And reassure her and let her know how much you care about her. And reassure her that it's not about her. It has nothing to do with her. And we got to go.
Make a date. That's going to be 5 days or 7 days from now, man. And you ought to be fine.
Take her for pizza and then go home.
Yeah.
Just like that. All right, Perry Farrell is here. It's the second time I ever met you. First time was for like 2 seconds, but man, you know more about sex than Ron Jeremy, I believe. And that is a good thing. And I mean
not.
In a pleasant sort of way, though. In a very smart, sexual, intelligent sort of way, which is very fun, because I'm learning
as
we're going
along.
It's
very important to me.
It is. It should be. You have multiple orgasms, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Well, we'll talk about that.
How do you know this?
I know people, Perry. And they don't know anyone. How you doing? Wait, what are you doing? Not much. We'll be back with Loveline next.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah, we're back. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I am sorry out there, you guys, that Adam Rockola, my main man Mayonnaise, is not here. I'm Stryker. I am from Los Angeles, California, and I fill in for him for the last couple years now, I guess, or something, right? Mm-hmm. Dr. Drew is to my left, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and Perry Farrell is here from Jane's Addiction. Very nice. Porno for Pyros and the brand-new solo album, which is going to be in stores this coming Tuesday. It is called Song Yet to Be Sung, and it seemed to me it's got a nice array of different types of music sprung into all the types of songs you got going. Mm. Is that a fair depiction of it?
Sprung? Yes.
Yeah?
Spring.
You seem very happy. Why are you so happy these days?
Why? Well, let's see. I guess because I am clinging very closely to music and I'm around it a lot and it leads to good parties and it leads to sexy people and fun times, so I guess that's why.
And for all you kids out there, they're, I don't know, maybe 16, 17, 18, and maybe you just caught the last couple of years of Lollapalooza, Perry is the founder of Lollapalooza. What did that start, like in 91, I guess?
That's right.
And then who was the brainchild or who thought of bringing like someone like Ice-T or Ice Cube to start touring on that back in the day?
Well, we had a nice table that we'd all sit around, you know. But it was a good call for Ice-T. He not only was just an amazing rapper, but he had at that time Body Count.
Body Count, yeah.
Which I thought... we all thought, you know, it's going to be pretty hot. He split the set up and he would do that. And then he'd actually come out and sing a song with Jane's Addiction at the very end of the evening.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Don't Call Me Nigger.
Okay.
Whitey, which is a song from Sly and the Family Stone. And we would do it together, a little duet.
Do you keep in contact with Ice-T or is it...
Not close contact, but when I see him, I'm always happy I did.
Right. He's always on VH1 Behind the Music lately.
Yeah, I know.
You know what he is? He's a player.
Is he?
Well, that's what he says in the thing. I'm a player.
Yeah, everybody on the floor, this is Ice-T.
All right.
You're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
There he is, my main man. All right. James.
Yeah.
What's up, man? You're 21 on Love Line.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I love Loveline. I've listened to you guys for the past 6 years, and I'm a huge Perry Farrell, Jane's Addiction fan.
Oh, thanks.
I've been since I was, like, 14, and I just am so honored to talk to Perry Farrell.
Thank you, James. How old are you now?
Huh?
How old are you now?
48.
I'm 21.
Okay, 21, okay.
And cool. I really find your music inspiring and really, like, moody and... I made it all the way to Coachella.
Uh-huh.
I was right up front, listened to your show the whole time, and was like the best religious experience I've ever had in my life.
Oh, nice. James, was that the show Perry had the mirrored outfit on?
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing show. I was just in awe the whole time. like the energy through the crowd, it was just like one big party where everyone was just getting along, and after it was just like, wow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful location, that Coachella.
It was.
Yeah.
But I had three questions for you real quick.
Oh,
one was, I've heard rumors of maybe another Jane's Addiction album coming out.
Oh.
And the second one was, what were the influences behind your new album? Because I listened to it on the internet.
You did?
It was on MSN something.
How does it translate over the internet?
It was awesome. It
oh,
was
good.
Perfect. I really liked the reggae version. I can't remember the name of the song or the reggae song
Toomey.
You did.
Yeah, Toomey.
Don't Ask or something.
Toomey.
Yeah, Toomey, that's right. That was beautiful, man.
And what's your third question?
Yeah.
And then we'll answer.
Yeah, yeah.
The third question was, is on the new tour, is there any way that there's going to be backstage passes available? Come back and meet you or something?
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it possible for everyone to get backstage passes.
Your ticket is a backstage pass, I believe. All right, so first question. I don't even remember it now. Do you remember it?
Jane's Addiction, new album.
Oh, is Jane's Addiction going to work on new material?
Well, I want to make sure just first that we have a beautiful tour. And we always smile and wink, but nobody is... written anything down in paper. We've signed no contracts or anything like that. But would I ever play with the fellas? You know it, man. I'd love to try again to make another record with the guys.
How much wiser do you think everybody is now?
They've got to be at least 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since 91.
And
that's 10 smart years.
Definitely.
Well, 10, 5 not so smart and then 5 recovering.
Okay.
Or something close to that.
I read a really interesting quote from Dave Navarro, who said the Chili Peppers made/make beautiful music while recovering. While Dave said, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, you guys did a lot of the music kind of when you were in a destruction mode, I guess that it would be.
Oh.
What do you think of that?
In the disease.
Right.
In the disease. Well, you know, we still like to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Different states of mind, I suppose. But so what do you do for fun, my man?
Hold on, let's get back to James.
Yeah, James, what do you do for fun, man?
He gets e-tarted.
What do I do for fun? All kinds of things. I play bass guitar. I like to skateboard, do all kinds of stuff.
All right, and what about gals or guys? Okay. What's your deal?
What's my deal?
Yeah, do you like to...
Girls or boys?
Yeah, man, what's going on with you at 21?
I definitely like girls, definitely. Nothing built like a good woman.
Okay. Do you have any questions about them?
No, I'm doing just fine.
All right. Well, I have a question for you then.
But yeah, I just want to thank you for putting me through, and it was a pleasure talking to you. You're a great human being, Peril, man. You like really inspire me to do.
Well, can I ask a favor of you?
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to take a lovely lady out sometime this year.
Uh-huh.
And find time and play some music that I've written this year for this new record.
All right.
And a beautiful, sexy location, just surprising, and be a real man and a real gentleman. And,
right.
You know, give her the old James, you know, essence for me. All right.
All right.
All right.
How about that, James?
Hey, man.
All right.
Awesome. Good stuff. Later, dude.
Talk to Perry Farrell.
Cool, man. See you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, we're making dreams come true around here, Dr. Drew.
Essence of James.
Yeah, of course. Hey, Rachel.
Yeah.
You're on Loveline and you're 23.
Yes. Well, I just pretty much wanted to say to Perry that I think everything you've done and everything he does is beautiful.
Thank you.
And I pretty much have... To say, I guess my question kind of changed as I was waiting, but the movie, The Gift, I wanted to know, because I heard all these rumors, like some of it's true, I kind of wanted to know really what it meant to him and why he did it, and was it really true?
The movie?
Yeah.
First of all, can you just tell people that maybe aren't familiar with The Gift, what is The Gift?
Okay, the movie was called Gift.
Okay.
And the reason I called it Gift only had to do with the fact that I made actually no money, but I had enough money to make a film. And we were being harassed by the producers to return our camera equipment and everything. Mm-hmm. So I handed it in, and it was my gift to people. So it was an art gift. That's why it's called Gift.
Okay. So.
And so what I did is, in the movie, it is a fictitious ending where I turned my girlfriend, who had overdosed, into a beautiful gift. I just decorated her and framed her and photographed her. Kind of.
She was dead in the movie.
She was dead, but okay, I didn't want to give her up because it was my last night with her. So rather than call the police, it's what I did with her alone, and it was a little ritual.
Let's not hope James does that.
I hope not.
No, I hope not. No. All right, and that is fictitious. That is not true.
This was fictitious. That was the fictitious part. All the rest of it was real.
Got it. All right, Kyle.
Yeah?
Hello, you're 13, and you're on Loveline.
Yes. First of all, Stryker, you're awesome.
Thanks, man.
You're cool, and James Dixon is awesome.
Thank you.
Is that it, Kyle?
Yeah. No.
Oh, no, okay.
I have a problem with my right testicle. All
right.
It's like a millimeter size, a little bump, kind of feels like a scab.
It's like a rough spot?
Yeah.
Millimeter is tiny. Do you mean a centimeter?
No, it's pretty small.
I mean, millimeter is like barely visible.
No, I can't see it.
You just see a little rough spot?
Yeah.
And it's on the surface of the skin. It's not something hard inside the testy. He's got to feel it. Oh, Mom came in, maybe. You there?
Did you get that?
Something's wrong with his testicle?
Yes.
Hey, Kyle?
I think we lost Kyle.
Kyle.
Mom walked in.
Oh.
It is a Kyle.
You know, I have an easy solution for Kyle here.
Yeah.
Kyle, if you're listening to me, it's never be embarrassed or ashamed to go to a doctor, kid.
God bless
you. Just go to a doctor and have him look at it, because I swear I would look at it. If you're my brother, I'd say, just show it to me. A lot of times when you're feeling around, you're going to find lumpy stuff in there. It's a very complex little matrix that the testicle is leading out the tip of the penis. So you could freak yourself out feeling around too much. The easiest solution, before you get so scared, make yourself an appointment for the doctor and just show it to them. That's what they're paid for.
That's right. We listen. You're not trained to know normal versus abnormal, and that's what we do all day is assess stuff like that. And don't be
what does Kyle do if he doesn't want his parents to know? He's 13 that he wants his testes checked out. He should tell his parents,
I would
of course.
Say, Kyle, there's a lot of things you shouldn't tell your parents. Testicles aren't one of them. You want those testicles your whole life.
Yes.
So even at the sake of being embarrassed, I swear I'd walk through a room of people laughing at me to preserve my own testicles.
Definitely.
And I advise you to do the same, Kyle.
Go get it, Kyle. Elizabeth.
Yes.
You're 19 on Love Line.
Hi.
What's going on?
Not much. Me and my husband are both bisexual, and we were...
You have kids?
Huh?
Do you have kids?
We have a kid.
All right. Go ahead.
And, we're kind of, like, interested in getting, like, maybe, ideally, another bisexual couple, but a girl would be cool, too. We're just having a problem trying to meet that type of people because, like, I mean, we have a few friends in mind that are girls. I just don't want to mess up the relationship with my girlfriends.
So you're looking for extra partners?
Yeah. Well,
do you think that's the most wise thing to do when maybe when you're, you know, asserting all this time to find a couple, maybe give that time to your child?
I give plenty of time to my child. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Yeah.
I'm no good. I'm wrong. I'm bad. I'm leaving.
You're concerned that bringing a third person in would disrupt the relationship with your friend, right?
Right? Well, actually, ideally, we'd rather have a guy and a girl.
I understand.
That were both bisexual,
but you,
and it wouldn't be a permanent thing. It would be like, okay.
Elizabeth, just stay with me. You appropriately had a concern that they could change your friendship if you brought that person into the bedroom with you and your husband, right?
Right.
Aren't you concerned that bringing that person in or those people in could
mess up your relationship?
No, not at all.
How come?
Oh. How old are you?
I'm 19.
You should ask somebody 21 or... I always kind of thought it would never mess things up, and I was continually proved wrong.
I've never met a couple that survives repeatedly or any sustained behaviors like this.
Yeah, you know, once again, I would advise you this. if you want to do something fun, first thing you have to think about is your own safety. So that's make sure that you're always safe, okay? Then I would suggest, once again, consider where it's leading and how much time you have to invest. And if it's something that, as I say, you're watching a sunset and you're all together and you know these people and you just absolutely love them and you just don't know what came over you, I don't know, kid. I would go for it and tell few people.
Perry.
But what?
I don't think she has the same painted picture that you have. Talking about going to the sunset, you love this other couple. I'm just trying to make
things, you know, romantic and loving because I think that sex is so healthy. I like the idea of sex, but I don't like the idea of unconscious sex or sex without consequences. So I would say that, you know,
we understand the consequences, and I think we're very close enough that...
What do you think, Drew?
I just never met your parents now, and the priority is that you nurture the intimacy that you two have, and
this wouldn't be when my child is at home. I mean, during the weekends, he spends night with his grandparents. And
but his parents are these people that engage in these behaviors that disrupt the intimacy, and he will know that. Even though he may not know why.
Actually, I don't think he's old enough to know that.
Elizabeth, you don't even understand what I'm talking about, which is very disturbing to me. You don't understand the language of relationships.
You're married, you two?
Yeah.
Why'd you get married?
We've been married for 2 years now.
Why'd you get married?
Because we love each other, and we've known each other for quite a while, and we just clicked.
Married at 17. How old is he?
He's 25 now, or he will be.
So he was engaged in sort of an illegal relationship with you to begin with.
Yeah, but I've been on my own since I've been 15.
Right. So. How come?
How come? Because I've gotten into a lot of trouble, and I've just been on my own since.
What was going on at home?
A lot of drugs.
Your parents were drug addicts?
No, actually, I was.
And what was else?
That was quite a while ago.
What else was going on at home? What were your parents like?
They were parents. I don't know. They're not really together anymore.
Well, I would suspect they were abusive if you were leaving home, because that's usually what happens.
That was my dad that was abusive. But yeah.
Well, he's one of your parents, isn't he?
He was my stepdad, adopted dad.
Yeah, he's one of your parents.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and he was abusive, right?
One night he was abusive.
Elizabeth, hold on one sec.
Okay.
What, do you want to do a reenactment?
No. I was just thinking, I'm not Adam Carolla by any means. I don't try to be him, but it...
Now you understand why he reacts the way he does.
I have the urge to just burst into anger.
Yeah, I know.
And call this person a screwball and concentrate on your relationship with your husband and think about your baby and start having bisexual affairs and that sort of thing. Once you're full together, congratulations, you're a stay-home mom, but I'm sure you're at home on the internet looking for other bisexuals that live in your community.
You understand why I hate our callers, even the ones that have been raped?
Yes, I do. I understand. Am I off, Drew?
No, I mean, Elizabeth...
I feel bad for her for her problems with her stepdad.
The reason you're angry is that Elizabeth is in such massive denial, you can't get a straight answer out of her.
Right.
And that's very frustrating to talk to somebody that will not even answer the most simple, straightforward question. And, you know, it comes from the traumatic, terribly traumatizing past she's had, and she's sort of hiding out in this relationship with a guy who is taking advantage of this situation, bringing other people into the relationship, and we'll see if they sustain it. I mean, they're together, and they're committed, and they have a kid, and I hope to God they do. You know,
but she seems really nice. That's the thing when we talk, but she doesn't understand where we're coming from.
I know, she's very frustrated,
which is driving me completely bad.
That's why Adam hangs up on our callers.
I bet. Hey, Keith.
Yes.
Sorry for the wait, man. You're on Loveline. You're 24.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to speak with Perry. Perry, first of all, my friends and myself, Chad and Matt, we got a lot of love for you.
Hey, thank you.
And we thank you for the
same. Chad and Matt.
And my question is basically, I know that a lot of emotion went into Ritual de lo Habitual, and I wanted to see how important it was for you to be able to compose. Then she did.
Hmm. Yeah, I sat in a little room with that piece, and it was nice because in those days there wasn't a great deal of pressure because nobody knew who we were, so You could just sit and just think musically and take your time. That's something that almost it's the last thing that ever is thought of these days anymore by people. You know, they have so much of a front going for them, and the last thing they think about, oh yeah, we have to supply music, don't we? But in those days, Then She Did was a beautiful song I had written about a gal, Ziola, who had overdosed and died, and she was one of the most talented young people I'd ever met, and I seriously was in love with her. And she was a gal that I was having I guess you'd say a three-way romance with for a while. And you know, either her girlfriend would end up getting upset, or my girlfriend would end up getting upset, or she would end up getting upset. You know, and I really tried hard because I thought, oh man, I got it made. I have two women I just love so much in my life. But it never seemed to kind of, it was always like trying to squeeze a water balloon. It would always slip through my fingers, you know. I never could kind of grip the relationship. Anyway, Ziola did pass on. So I was singing a song to her. And there you go, man.
I'm sorry. Cool.
Yeah,
but I do appreciate the piece.
Yeah, thanks.
And we do love you for it.
Thanks.
See you there, Keith.
Yes.
Tell Matt and David goodbye too.
Bye. Thank you.
Very good. All right, we got to take a quick break. Perry Farrell is here, and the new CD will be out this coming Tuesday. Don't want to end it on a downer right there, so we'll get happy in just a minute, and we'll speak to Whitney out in Oregon. Her friend is involved in drugs, and we'll dig deep in that, and we'll speak to more of you guys coming up on Loveline.
Oh, yes! Loveline, we'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Tricky Mountain. All right, we're back. You guys are listening to Loveline. Hello there, I'm Stryker, in for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew, 1-800-LOVE-191. Perry Farrell is here, and he's got a new CD coming out, his first solo project that he's done, Song Yet to Be Sung. On Tuesday, if you live in L.A., he's going to be at Tower Sunset, doing an in-store August 3rd, spinning out there and hanging out and just probably getting kind of crazy there. And we want to speak to Jeremy, 22. You're on, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's
hey,
up?
Hey, Jeremy.
No, I was just sitting here working on some music. I have a question for Perry about what programs he used using the computer, because I've been working on some hip-hop stuff. Just wondering what kind of, you know, programs he used.
Well, I started writing a lot of the pieces on a Roland 505. It's a simple machine, and it's got everything from the drums to, you know, keyboards, filters, delays, and everything else. But the quality and the sound of it, I like to mix and match, because every machine has its own quality, just like a guitar.
Yeah.
So I then moved over to, did a lot of work with Nord. The Nord is really nice for bassy things, and I used a Waldorf keyboard. And then I worked with friends, and they had equipment, lots of different old equipment and different old guitars, and a Akai sampler. And I had a friend who had a great backlog of drum samples. If I were you, I would start just collecting drum sounds. You never know when you'll never know when you'll need a certain snare, and then you'll have it there. And then I brought it to Cubase, and I would lay Cubase out, which is a good way to lay out rough ideas. It's very easy to move tracks around. And I finally worked with Pro Tools, which is a nice finishing software application. It's a virtual studio.
Yeah, Pro Tools seems like is definitely one of the most popular tools people are using today.
Yeah, right? And then the last thing is you bring it to a nice studio, a big one where you can separate all your channels and really refine the sound of each individual channel. So you will need to spend, if you want to do it really top notch, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what are you trying to do? Just put together some smooth hip-hop beats and then...
Yeah, kind of like Keith Murray, kind of like little mix of Keith Murray, like Beastie Boys, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm also in a reggae band, too. I've listened to Perry for a long time, you know, and, you know, you're a great musician. I've run into you a couple times in Venice, and you're a great guy, you know. So I just wanted to call and see how you did that, and maybe ask everybody if they could check out our website.
Sure, why not? What is it?
No.
Okay, no, I guess not. I guess they won't let me. I'm sorry, Jeremy, but here's what we're going to do. Let's play another song from your album, Perry.
Okay.
So Jeremy, who lives in the L.A. area, Hacienda Heights, can check it out, and everyone out there. Let's play, I guess, the title track. It's called Song Yet to Be Sung. It's new Perry Farrell on Loveline. There you go. Brand new music from Perry Farrell. The album is coming out on Tuesday, and the CD is called Song Yet to Be Sung, and that was also the name of the song you guys just heard on Loveline. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla. And I was just thinking, while that song was playing, Perry, we spoke to that caller right before the song. You laid out for him and for everyone out there basically what to do to put an entire song together. And I don't think I've ever heard an artist just go from talk about step A to step Z like that before. Every tool, every piece of thing you need to do.
And it only took me 3 years.
To say it on the radio, too.
No, it took me 3 seconds to tell you on the radio.
Right. And it took you how long to make your entire solo album?
Yeah, 3 years? Three and a half years, yeah.
Wow. And it feels great. I mean, obviously, I'm sure.
Right now, it feels nice to hear. I mean, people are listening, I know.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Yeah. Like the lady that you locked in the closet.
What?
Well, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I.
He's very taken with that story.
I maintain I don't know what you're saying.
I got excited. I liked her voice, Perry. She was really nice.
Ryan, 22.
Hold on, Drew. Yeah. She had a nice voice, man.
Yeah, you tell me.
Yeah, okay. Ryan.
Yeah.
What's up, man? You're 22.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey.
This is kind of a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
In January, I went to Whistler, B.C., and, of course, spent the night with a prostitute.
Of course.
Everyone goes to Whistler. Isn't that a requirement of skiing at Whistler?
When you go to Whistler, yeah.
Is that, were you a black home or were you at the Whistler?
What now?
Were you a black home or were you a Whistler?
I was at Whistler.
Okay.
And pretty well catered there and just about up for anything. A couple buddies threw me a plug and I bit and we all did it. And, of course, 2 months later...
Hey, slow down. Youngster.
What
they threw you a plug?
Yeah, what does that mean, threw me a plug?
Well, what was that?
What does throw me a plug mean?
Yeah.
I meant throw me a line, sorry. Throw me a hook, whatever.
Huh? I still am not following you. I'm sorry. I'm a little...
So they said, why don't you go get that prostitute, and you said, okay?
Yeah.
What does throwing a line mean? That means they're paying for your prostitute, or...?
No, they brought it up.
They brought it up. Okay, so it's their fault. And you end up in bed with this person, and you're pissed off because your buddies got you in bed with her, and then what happened?
Do you wear a condom?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, anyway, 2 months later, I get a spot on my penis, and just wondering if you could narrow down the STDs for me.
2 months later? 2 months later?
Yeah, it was about a month and a half, 2 months later.
And you'd had no other sexual encounters in the meantime?
Well, no, I haven't, actually.
Ryan, where do you live?
Where do I live?
Yeah.
Thousand Oaks?
Yeah, I was in Thousand Oaks, and I got a prostitute there, of course, one time. So you could do all right there.
No. It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and, of course, never want to do it again.
Liar.
And describe this spot to me.
What was that?
Describe the spot.
Oh, it's about a dime size. It's on the top left part of the shaft.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like an open sore that scabs over, and it comes and goes as it pleases, I guess.
And it doesn't hurt, or it does hurt?
Does it have eyes?
It hurts.
It's an amoeba.
So is it burn?
It doesn't have that appearance. It's more like a open sore, I guess.
Does it burn?
No.
Okay, a painless ulcer is syphilis until proven otherwise, okay? Oh.
Can you get that by wearing a condom, though?
Yeah.
How does that happen if you have a condom on?
There's secretions and things that can get in there.
A couple other factors. I'm an avid masturbator. Could that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, you could be irritating a spot. Basically, the difference between herpes...
Switch hands and see if it goes away.
Herpes and syphilis. Herpes and syphilis is herpes hurts and syphilis doesn't, but they can very much look very similar.
What else should I look for with syphilis?
Nothing.
Really?
That's it. You'll get when the primary lesion goes away, which usually within a couple of weeks. That's what the time course isn't quite right for that. You'll get a rash often a few weeks after that.
Is there any cream to put on this or? On his thing?
No, he needs to. A doctor needs to see this, Ryan, while you have the ulcer, because these things are important. There's something called chancroid, and there are other things that cause ulcers. And you have to be able to see the ulcer and actually sometimes even take a piece of the ulcer in order to diagnose this stuff.
They're taking a piece of your penis, Ryan.
But so you got, wow. you got to see someone. And if you don't, you can have very serious consequences.
All right, so go to a doctor tomorrow.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go. And good times maybe in Whistler.
It, and maybe follow the, Keith, the other guy.
And these things are treatable, and maybe it is just the masturbation, but it's worth getting this checked out, all right?
Well, thanks, Dr. Drew.
All right, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan, about that.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
And as Perry was saying earlier, basically, Perry would be airlifted to medical attention if there anything going on his penis or testes.
Oh, yeah. Ryan, it's so funny. He sounds like such a fun guy to hang out with. Yeah. He's like, I go to Whistler, we get a prostitute, of course. Now I got a dime-sized lesion on my penis. Oh, man. Oh, Noelina? Noelia?
It's Noelia.
Noelia, welcome to Loveline. You're 26.
Yes, I am. Hi, Perry. I just wanted to say hi. I've actually had a few encounters with you, and I never have the opportunity to tell you how much Jane's Addiction has done for my soul and you and your music, so I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
And I have a question. I was at the shooting for the Song It to Be Sing video in the desert.
You were there?
Yes, I was there. I hang out with Moon Tribe and Mystic Family Circus.
Oh, okay.
Those are my crew, and I'm wondering, when is that going to be out, and where can I see it?
The video?
Yeah.
It's just being handed in today, as a matter, or tomorrow to MTV for close scrutiny.
Cool. So
they took. You remember the cute girl who painted her body? She
Do
also.
Remember her, the ballerina?
Yeah, but she was nude. But it was she was fully painted.
Yes.
Yeah, they made us take her out.
Oh,
so I hope that's not you.
No, that's not me. I'm a really short, darky Mexican girl. So I was in there.
You're
I'll be
darky?
In there. I'm all over it.
All right. I'll look for you.
I first met you at Burning Man. Are you going to be at Burning Man this year?
You know, I'm going to try to get up there as any way I can. If I'm at all available. I might be on the tour, unfortunately.
On Jane's Addiction Tour?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But if not, my ambition is to get there and bop around. I'll bet you I'll see you there.
Oh, hopefully. Well, we'll be at the Mystic Family Circus tent.
So oh, well, then I'll see you
for
sure.
Camp with us.
Okay, like, were you there last year?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where I met you last year, with the Moon Tribe tent and whatnot. So, yeah, I've actually had a few encounters with you, Beverly Boulevard Party and and whatnot. I'm friends with Shauna and Lauren and
okay.
But, yeah.
Whatever.
So. We'll see you at the club, Noelia.
Yeah, I'll see you there. Hopefully, I'll see you at Burning Man.
I'll see you there, definitely.
Okay.
Okay, I hope we get my album.
Oh, definitely.
Hey.
Okay,
not your album.
Yeah,
what are you gonna do with that?
Perry's, that's true.
Okay, if you want to play like that,
no.
Let's go.
You're taking your credit.
Okay.
Undeserved.
We got to grab another call, okay?
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Sounds like she's with the tribe right now. But that's cool. All these people, personal level. It seems like when you're out and about in Venice, wherever you go, are you pretty accessible, I guess is the right word? So people come up and say, hey, what's up, dude? Or does that make you pretty uncomfortable?
I jog in the deep sand with a bodyguard.
A huge
yeah.
one.
Yeah, and if there's anybody with a blanket, they just, like, get him up. Get up. He's coming.
All right, we have to take another break. Perry is here, and he's kind of like MC Hammer. He has an entourage of 50 people here with him, and they all have Mike Tyson-type sunglasses on. It's very scary. I'm Stryker with Dr. Drew. More Loveline coming up next.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
All right, we are back. You guys are listening to Loveline. If you want to try to get in real quick, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla, along with Dr. Drew. And Perry Farrell has been here since 10 o'clock. He was here long before 10 o'clock on time and still here. Thank you for dealing with me tonight, man.
You're welcome.
We kind of live near each other out here, I guess. I'm going to have to start jogging out in the Venice area or something.
Okay.
Out by CNO and Skaties and that whole hood over there.
You're so gay.
God, Anderson, I'm going to kill you. You're fat. You're a lesbian. All right, so the album comes out Tuesday. It's going to be a big day for you, and then you're going to be at Tower Records Sunset on the 3rd of August.
Oh.
So everyone can see you spinning there.
Okay.
Good. All right. Now all of a sudden you're quiet. Daniel.
Yeah.
What's up? You're 16. What's your question?
Well, me, my friend, we all were going out to this party, and some guy offered us some E. And so, like, I took it, and, like, me and my girlfriend were having sex, like, that night. And I started to, like, get hot, but then it was, like, it, like, went away, like, afterwards when we were done. And I woke up the next morning, I felt kind of fine.
You felt what?
I felt fine, like, normal. And then, like, it's been like a week ago, but now, like, I'm starting to get hot flashes and stuff like that. And I was wondering what the side effects of E was.
What do you mean hot flashes?
Like, I mean hot flashes. Like, I started feeling hot. Like, I'd get, like, this hot feeling and, like, all over my body.
Would you have panic with that?
Minor, but not really, like, I don't know. I'm kind of like a jittery guy as it is.
But panic and anxiety is one of the more common side effects of E, and that can go on permanently.
Side effects or while you're doing it?
No, it's part of the injury of the drug. I mean, it's
central nervous system.
Yeah, it damages the central nervous system, and the two biggest and most common long term consequences: mood instability, depression, and or panic
from doing ecstasy.
From doing ecstasy,
how many times?
Once,
really?
Maybe we don't know.
No. Here, look, don't scare the kid.
No,
because he's already done it. That's the thing. Now. So this now,
he will probably be okay.
A week passed and you were fine in the duration. Within that week, like 6 days, everything was cool. Then the seventh day, you started to feel a little funny.
Well, the problem is actually sometimes the long-term effects don't start manifesting until about 3 years later. It's really common for it to be a delay, but this does not sound like that kind of situation.
Is the first time you ever did it?
Daniel?
I've done it before, but it's
How many times, kid?
I don't know.
Well, now here's what it is. You've got an accumulative buildup, and you got to stop. Why don't you just cut it out? Don't you love yourself? Don't you love your body?
Yeah, but...
All right, well, chill out. Look, if you have to take a drug to enjoy yourself, you're in the wrong place. That's the way I look at it. Like, if you're doing X just so you like the music, you're just hearing the wrong music. Your body's telling you, I'm polluted and I need to take a break. At the very most, okay, you don't have to be a saint, but I'm just telling you, listen to your body. Your body just told you something, and chill out and have a good time. Just enjoy your friends. Enjoy company for a while and let your body heal up.
Dr. Drew, I heard a question on Loveline listening a few weeks ago. Some kid said, if I were to take drugs, which two should I stay away from? I don't remember one of them, but the other you said ecstasy. Do you remember that?
Oh, LSD and E are the two that...
Okay, right.
That I'm every day putting people in the hospital with lifetime disability from the neurologic injuries from those drugs.
What does that mean, neurological?
They are psychiatrically disabled. They become so depressed and so anxious and so altered chemically, and their brain function is so changed by these drugs that they are forever patients.
What about for a kid, adult, who's doing E once a month, 12 times a year?
We don't know.
Oh,
we don't know. We don't know exactly how many times before you're going to be in serious trouble.
Can I admit something to you guys?
Yes.
In my lifetime, I have, partied.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
So this what would happen to me. I'm just going to try to tell this kid a little info, pass it along. So yeah, man, when you do you start doing X all the time. What happens is, first of all, you know, your spinal fluid is drying up, and it's going to make you uncomfortable and irritable.
Actually, the spinal fluid thing is a wives' tale. That actually came from the...
Well, it feels bad in my spine, I'll tell you that.
It's actually the brain. The actual injury is to the brain. So the spinal fluid thing came from the fact that the researchers who were studying E very, very at the beginning were actually drawing the spinal fluid out of the patients and studying it, because it doesn't hurt you to draw your spinal fluid out.
Well, I'll tell you the feeling that I got. Maybe he'll agree. Like, you feel like your entire spine just is uncomfortable and tight, and it feels like something's missing, and you feel kind of like dried up, you know, like there's the life essence that's supposed to be juicy, and in your head, in your brain, it should feel like you have a nice body of water up there, and what starts to happen is you start to feel very like static electricity as opposed to feeling fluid. So what I did was I decided that I would rather have nice feelings in my body, and I'd rather feel good than go out and continue this. It's kind of like banging your head against the wall, don't you think? You're constantly getting high, but you're not feeling good. So I would say lay off. And if where you go doesn't seem fun anymore, then you're just going to the wrong place. Just go to some places where they're playing better music that you don't need ecstasy to enjoy it. And there's a lot of places like that. There's a lot of music like that.
It's not just the music that you enjoy, though. It's kind of like your whole
company
world
and all that stuff. And you can have a good laugh on taking care of people too. Like, you know, somebody else wants to do their thing, you could play the part of the you know, being a good buddy, man, or a good boyfriend, and take care of them and make sure that they're safe. Enjoy yourself. It's a good world out there.
Very nice. All right, let's try to get a few calls in before we're done here. Whitney, you're 15 on Loveline.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, thanks for taking my call. Love you, Drew.
Thank you, Whitney.
My best friend is getting really deep into drugs, and I'm not sure what to do about it. She's doing acid, liquid ecstasy, and who knows what else.
And there's not much you can do about it if people go down that path, except to confront her with what you see, how you see it affects her, how it makes you feel. And if you can get her, anyone to her aid, in other words, if they're parents you could alert, or anyone that can really step in, you may be saving her from really seriously harming herself. So really, you have to think of it in terms of not her just doing her own thing and partying, but her potentially going down a path that could be fatal. And if you can, and you may lose her as a friend as a result, but that's what you got to do sometimes in order to help somebody.
So she's not hiding this from anyone then, huh?
No, her mom actually helps her get it.
Nice. What? Good times.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, I mean, you know, Whitney, there's not much you can do in the face of stuff like that. You really can just, again, keep supporting her and keep confronting her what you see happening.
Irene.
Yes.
You're 27 on Loveline now.
I am.
Yes.
Yes, I'm 27.
Welcome.
Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, hi, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, I just wanted to say that, is this Perry?
Yes, this is.
Hi, Perry.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I'm absolutely in love with you, you and your voice.
Ah.
And that your music is most breathtaking. And I don't know, it just kind of takes me away to, like, another world. And I just think it's beautiful. And on that note, I just wanted to, I guess, get to know more about you. Like, as far as, like, where you grew up and who raised you or whatnot. And
The person that I would say is most responsible for raising me would be my sister.
Your sister?
Yeah. Okay. I had death took my mother at a very young age, so my sister became a surrogate mother. And it was really cool because, in a way, I could get into conversations about girls and things that you couldn't even really talk much about to your mother. I got to ask my sister, and she was also, because she was an older sister, I got involved in music at a very early age, and was able to start learning about music, and that's where my passion for music grew, is from my sister's record collection. I had an older brother as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, and I like one particular song from Porno for Pyros. It's called Porpoisehead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering what that song is about. Like, what does it mean to you? Because I love that song, and that just, that really does it for me.
Wow. Thank you. Oh, well, it's, that was one of the most, let me say, at that time when I was writing that song, I would take these very deep trips, if you know what I'm talking about. I was away. I was underwater at the bottom of the ocean, and that's where I would remain. And that's where I would just kind of stay. And occasionally, I'd come up for air, and I would see what's going on with the world. But I considered myself to be a porpoisehead. So that's why I wrote that song.
Very pretty, man. Very nice. Thank you, Irene. Have fun in Northridge. That's Perry Farrell, just speaking so eloquently. I'm Stryker, and I'm trying to do the same. We'll be back with more Loveline after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, we are back. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew jetted out because he needed 5 minutes of sleep. Drew, if you're listening, you're a wussy!
Anyway, thanks you guys for being so cool to me when calling in. It's fun sitting in for Adam. Yet tough. He'll be back, I believe, tomorrow, back with Adam. Perry Farrell, thank you so much for being here and your first time on Loveline. It was so exciting for me to be here with you.
And me.
Cool.
With you.
Good. Your new album is coming out on Tuesday. Song Yet to Be Sung. Everyone can go check it out. And everyone can also look for you on the Reunited Jane's Addiction Tour later in the fall, right?
Yeah.
All right. So that's it.
Yes, that is.
All right. Very cool. And don't forget, Tower Records Sunset in store if you're in L.A. That's going to be August 3rd. So for Dr. Drew and Perry Farrell, I am Ted Stryker.
You can't articulate yourself any better than that.
I am saying adios, senores. Bye-bye.
There could be some funky smell coming from your job. I'm not kidding you.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.